8:13, Leah's here this morning from the Brazos Animal Shelter. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. What's happening in the world of puppies and kittens and stuff?
Well, we are getting plenty of puppies and kittens in. We have a couple of maybe cur mix puppies if someone's looking for a cute little tan puppy. And the kittens, well, we are sending plenty out in foster care, so look for them come June. People have been knocking on our doors for kittens. I'm sorry, they're still too young.
But yeah, you got to wait till they get old enough that they'll behave, right?
Exactly.
You need to get away from mama then.
Be away from their mother. Yeah. So watch for plenty of kittens to come back into the shelter come June. I was looking through the book now, and we're about 6 weeks, so we're looking at 8 weeks and 2 pounds, so that should be June.
Sure.
With the rainstorms, if you're missing your pet, please come by the shelter and look. Only you know what your animal looks like. And, you know, if people, your friends ask you, tell them, send them to us and go up and look at the shelter. So we can't stress that enough. And if you have, it's pretty much just business as usual this week. It's pretty low-key for the moment. If you want more information on some of our available pets interested in volunteering or foster care, BrazosAnimalShelter.org or visit us at 5359 Leonard Road.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Visit with the folks in the Brazos Animal Shelter on Tuesdays. And also from the Chamber, and Ann is here this morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Great. What you have for us?
Well, we have a couple of fun events coming up this Thursday, May 17th from 5:30 to 7. We have business after hours at the Benjamin Knox Gallery on University Drive. So we would love for all of you guys to come out and hang out with us for that. And then also we have an Inner Circle reception coming up that is honoring Dr. Roman Papaduke as he retires from the George Bush Presidential Library Foundation. And that will be on Tuesday, May 22nd out at Messina Hoff Winery. The cost on that is only $15, thanks in part to Wells Fargo Bank, which is our sponsor on that. And we would like to just take a minute to thank Dr. Papaduke for his service to the community and for all that he's done over the years. And one last thing, we'd like to thank our Platinum Member Spotlight, Texas A&M Physicians this week for all they do for the Chamber.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Business folks from the Chamber as well. Our community segment is brought to you by the Meyer Eye Center. If you have cataract or need other vision correction, call today at 776-7564.
Almost everyone who lives a long life will develop cataracts at some point. Meyer Eye Center specializes in cataract surgery with excellent outcomes and good patient care. If you are experiencing blurred vision driving at night, glare and halos around lights, you may have a cataract. Don't hesitate to call the friendly staff at Meyer Eye Center at 776-7564. At Meyer Eye Center, we appreciate and thank you for your business. Meyer Eye Center, 776-7564.
8:16, Ted Cruz, candidate for a U.S. Senate Republican nomination, joins us in just a minute.
At Batteries Plus, we make sure to keep a huge selection of lawn and garden batteries in stock and ready to go. We carry batteries for nearly every brand of riding lawnmower, cordless trimmer, weed whacker, leaf blower, and more. So come into Batteries Plus today and make sure you have the power you need to cut, trim, garden, and weed. Batteries Plus. Find the battery you need to replace at the replace-it place.
Visit Batteries Plus in College Station on the corner of Texas and Holloman now through May 31st and receive $5 off select lawn and garden batteries after rebate. Batteries Plus. Any battery, any bulb, for anything.
Early voting has begun. May 29th is the election. Ted Cruz, who is a candidate for the Republican nomination, joins us today. Thanks a lot.
Scott, great to be with you.
Let's talk first of all about the Ted Cruz plan, if elected.
We've got to turn our country around. Our country's going broke. Barack Obama's been the most radical president this country's ever seen, and we've got a $16 trillion debt. It's bigger than our GDP. We've got to stop the spending. We need to repeal Obamacare, revoke the offshore drilling moratorium, stop the abusive enforcement of environmental laws, dramatically shrink the size and power and spending of the federal government, and get back to the Constitution.
Let's talk a little bit about spending. It always sounds good, I want to cut spending, but I think it's fair to say somewhere between 73 to 75% are defense spending and the things that people have expected with, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. So with that much already allocated, there's not a whole lot to choose from to cut.
Well, there's a lot of things we can do, and my view is we need to do everything humanly possible to stop the out-of-control spending. Number one, I would eliminate unnecessary or unconstitutional agency. I would eliminate the Department of Education. I think education is way too important for it to be governed by unelected bureaucrats in Washington. It needs to be at the state level, or even better, at the local level, where parents can make decisions about their own kids' education. I would eliminate the Department of Commerce, the Department of Energy, the National Endowment of the Arts. We shouldn't have unelected bureaucrats spending our taxpayer money on the art they think is worthwhile. And the agency I'd most like to eliminate is the IRS by having fundamental tax reform, scrapping the tax code, and moving to a low uniform rate, either a flat tax or the fair tax.
Let's expand on the fair tax, because Neil Bortz is one of our talk show hosts here. He obviously has trumpeted that cause, and it certainly has some resonance in Bryan College Station.
Look, the simplest principle of economics is what you tax decreases and what you subsidize increases. Right now, we tax productivity and we subsidize sloth. The beauty of the fair tax is that it's a consumption tax that applies to everyone fairly. And it puts all the incentives where we want it. It puts the incentives on saving, on investing, on creating jobs. And you are taxed only if you are consuming. If you want to live a big, lavish lifestyle, if you want to buy a fancy car, then you pay more in taxes. If you want to take your money and give it to your church, give it to charity, if you want to take your money and invest it in businesses, then you pay a lot less taxes. That's where we want the incentives. And the beauty of it is, it makes the IRS unnecessary. Right now, the federal government micromanages every aspect of your financial life. If you have a simple fair consumption tax, you can literally padlock the IRS and auction off the building.
The Tea Party likes some of the things that you have to say. Tell me where you view the Tea Party now from its inception and where you see it maybe 4 to 6 years down the road.
I think the Tea Party is the most exciting thing to have happened in politics in decades. And it rose up because Obama's been so extreme. The truth of the matter is Republicans deserved to get our teeth kicked in 2008. We had stopped standing for anything. And the Tea Party rose up because so much power was drawn into Washington. Spending and debt got out of control. And people stood up and said, if we don't stand and fight for our liberty, we will lose our freedom. Now, I think in 2010, the Tea Party focused it on a lot of big, visible protests. I think in 2012, the Tea Party movement has grown and matured into a much more forceful political movement that is focusing on electing candidates who will stand for freedom and the Constitution. We saw a powerful manifestation of that just last week in Indiana, where 2 weeks ago, the mainstream media, the establishment, had all said that Dick Lugar, the longtime entrenched incumbent, the moderate establishment candidate, was unbeatable. 2 weeks ago, Governor Sarah Palin endorsed Richard Murdoch, Lugar's opponent, and in a period of 2 weeks, Murdoch not only went on to win the race, but he won by 20 points. And he won because all over the country, people are fed up with tired establishment moderate incumbents who don't believe anything. We want strong conservatives and fighters, and that's exactly what's happening here in Texas as well.
Ted Cruz joining us. Let's say you're elected. What's your response when leadership sits down with you and has to go along to get along?
It's a very simple response, which is that's what's gotten us into the problem. We need to stand for principle. You know, the other day it was interesting. I was visiting with the editorial board of the Dallas Morning News newspaper, and the first three questions they asked, they said, isn't it good to be a moderate? Are you willing to compromise? And will you be bipartisan? Those were the first three questions. And I laughed at that point, and I said, listen, if you are looking for a moderate establishment senator, someone who will be a bipartisan compromiser, who will work with the Democrats, raise our taxes, keep the spending growing, and keep the debt going, I ain't your guy. You've got a very easy choice in this race, and that's David Dewhurst. In 15 years in statewide elected office, the hallmark of his leadership has been bipartisan compromise with the Democrats in increasing spending and increasing taxes. In my view, the problem in Washington has not been too much principle on the side of Republicans. The problem in Washington has been too many spineless jellyfish. I think we need to draw a line in the sand. If we don't turn our country around, we're going broke. And people are fed up with career politicians in both parties that don't get that.
David Dewhurst's ad says that you, as an attorney, represented a Chinese company against an American company. I presume you'd like to have an opportunity to respond to that.
Well, he has spent over $4 million in nasty attack ads, calling me, in his words, a, quote, red Chinese communist. The ads are completely untrue. They're filled with lies. I would urge your listeners to come to our website, tedcruz.org, and click on Get the Facts. And you can get the detailed facts about the misstatements and the half-truths in the ads. But let me tell you two that are most important. Number one, the man that Dewhurst tells you is a, quote, American manufacturer. He moved his entire factory to China 20 years ago. Dewhurst doesn't tell you that. This was always a lawsuit between two Chinese tire factories. This man spends 8 months out of the year in China running his Chinese factory. And number two, what Dewhurst doesn't tell you is the case he's talking about, I wasn't the lead lawyer on. I didn't even argue that case. You want to know my record on defending U.S. intellectual property against Chinese counterfeiting? Look to a case I did argue. Last year in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, I represented a large manufacturer against a Chinese company that had stolen a U.S. patent. And at my urging, the U.S. Supreme Court, by a vote of 8-1, upheld a $5 million verdict against the Chinese counterfeiter. That's my record, and that's what Dewhurst is not telling you.
Let's sidestep for just a minute, because obviously you worked in the Supreme Court. If elected, you very well could have an opportunity to vote on a justice during your term. Your view of this Supreme Court as it sits now?
It is in precarious balance. There are four strong judicial conservatives on the court. There are four far-left judicial liberals on the court, and there is one justice, Justice Kennedy, exquisitely in the middle. You know, I've spent much of my adult life litigating in front of the U.S. Supreme Court and defending the Constitution. I began my career as a law clerk to Chief Justice William Rehnquist, one of the great principled conservative jurist who fought against judicial activism. If you look at the many cases I was honored to litigate and win as the Solicitor General of Texas, serving under Greg Abbott, our Attorney General, whether it was defending the Ten Commandments monument and winning, defending the Pledge of Allegiance and winning, defending the Second Amendment and winning, standing up and fighting the United Nations and the World Court and defending U.S. sovereignty and winning, just about every one of those cases would come out differently if President Obama gets even one more U.S. Supreme Court nominee. I will tell you there is no responsibility I will take more seriously as a U.S. senator than the constitutional responsibility to advise and consent on judicial nominations and to make sure that no judge is confirmed to the bench who will be an activist who will impose his or her policy preferences rather than just follow the law and follow the Constitution.
Ted Cruz, candidate for the Republican nomination to the U.S. Senate, joins us this morning. Term limits. What's your thought on those?
I strongly support term limits. I have pledged to co-sponsor a constitutional amendment along with Senator Jim DeMint to limit every U.S. senator to two terms and every member of the House to three terms.
In truth, as a freshman senator, whether it's the majority or minority party, what can you really be a part of?
You know, I think the Senate is really at a tipping point right now. Every major battle that matters, the Senate's going to be the battleground. If you want to repeal Obamacare, the Senate's the battleground. If you want to dramatically shrink the size and power of the federal government and eliminate the debt, the Senate's the battleground. If you want to open up our natural resources to exploration, the Senate's the battleground. And the Senate's at a tipping point. There are six or seven strong constitutional conservatives in the Senate. If we can double their numbers to 10 or 12 or 15, that will be a critical mass to drive a serious free market agenda. You know, today, the five most conservative senators in the U.S. Senate, in my opinion, are Jim DeMint, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Pat Toomey, and Tom Coburn. I'm the only candidate in the country all five have endorsed. And the reason is they need reinforcements. All five of them, they looked at my record and Dewhurst's record. And they said Dewhurst over and over again has compromised, has not stood for conservative principles, has raised taxes, has increased spending. And there are too many Republicans in Washington just like Dewhurst. And they looked at my record and said, Ted, for his entire life, has been fighting for the Constitution, fighting for free market principles. And if we're going to transform the Senate, we need strong conservatives and fighters, not go-along-to-get-along establishment moderates.
Last week, you were in D.C. trying to garner support. What do you say to Texans who say, what are you doing up there raising money outside of Texas when you're supposed to be our senator?
Well, I'll tell you, we have raised money all over the country. To date, we're effectively tied with David Dewhurst in fundraising. We've raised $5.2 million. He's raised $5.6 million. The difference is where it's come from. Our $5.2 million has come from over 19,000 donors, in over 800 Texas cities and from all 50 states. Dewhurst has come from a total of 2,500 donors. Our average donation is $195. His is about $2,000. He essentially has every big money lobbyist in Austin. We have 19,000 individual conservatives all over the state. We have more donors in the Houston city area than Dewhurst has in the entire state of Texas. I am proud that we're running a national campaign. Why? Because a good U.S. senator benefits all 50 states, and a lousy U.S. senator hurts all 50 states. We're running the same sort of campaign Marco Rubio ran in Florida, Rand Paul ran in Kentucky, that we saw all over the country, and it's because the Senate is the battleground. And the reason we're seeing conservatives cut checks is because this is how we turn our country around. There's a big difference between my supporters and Dewhurst. Every lobbyist just about in the state of Texas is supporting David Dewhurst. And you know what? Most of the lobbyists in Washington, D.C. are supporting David Dewhurst. The people who are supporting me are the conservative revolutionaries. They're the Rand Pauls of the world and the Jim DeMints. They're FreedomWorks and Club for Growth. They're people like Dr. James Dobson and Phyllis Schlafly. And just this past week, Governor Sarah Palin. They are the strong conservatives that together we're part of the Tea Party tidal wave that swept the country in 2010 and is getting the Republican Party back to the basic free market principles we should have stood for that the career politicians lost sight of.
Whether orchestrated or not, the campaign took an issue that it now can divide the two presidential candidates, that being same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. Democrats have come out in favor. Governor Romney has not. Mm-hmm. Your view on that?
I strongly support traditional marriage, and I've got a proven record on this. When I was the Solicitor General of Texas, two gay men had gotten a civil union in Vermont, and they came to a state district court in Beaumont, Texas, and they got a divorce. And I went and sat down with Attorney General Greg Abbott, and within 24 hours, the state of Texas intervened in that proceeding to defend the marriage laws of the state of Texas. In Texas, marriage is defined as the union of one man and one woman, and within 48 hours, that case, the judgment was vacated and the case was non-suited. Listen, what Obama did last week embracing gay marriage was heartbreaking. It wasn't a surprise. He supported gay marriage the entire time he's been in the White House. He just made it explicit. The easiest way you know that that's been his position is one of the first things he did as president is his Department of Justice refused to defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. That was truly disgraceful, and there is an assault on traditional marriage as activists want to use the courts to tear down the institution of marriage. It is part and parcel of a broader assault on religious liberty and on the Constitution. And I think we need strong conservatives and fighters who don't just talk a good game, but who've been in the trenches and who bear the stripes. You know, as the scriptures tell us, you shall know them by their fruits. If you're really a conservative, you will have been fighting and you will bear the stripes of those fights. And that's why I go over and over again to my proven record. Because talk is cheap. We need a strong conservative and a fighter.
Is it different if it's not the word marriage? If it's a civil union, do you have a different point of view?
Ultimately, whether or not to adopt a civil union is a decision states can make. But what we've seen is an agenda where litigants are trying to get the courts to force every state in the union to tear down the institution of marriage. It's why I brought up the Defense of Marriage Act. The Defense of Marriage Act was passed because you had unelected courts ordering states, you must recognize gay marriage. And the danger, by the way, is that people go and get marriages in one state that allows gay marriage and then move to other states and insist this state, the state of Texas, must recognize gay marriage. And they use the courts to force that. The Defense of Marriage Act was passed with overwhelming bipartisan majorities, was signed into law by Democrat Bill Clinton, and we've gone so far that Barack Obama says it is indefensible. He refuses to allow the Department of Justice to defend that law of the United States. This has always been about a small minority trying to force their social agenda on the rest of the country and using the courts of law to tear down the institution of marriage. And marriage is the foundational building block of the family and of our society. And I think we need to protect marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
Finally, as an attorney, I don't know the last time that a legislative body has tried to hold the attorney general in contempt, but they're trying to do that right now with Eric Holder. I'd like to get your thoughts on that situation. And you've, of course, talked about DOJ a little bit.
Look, this has been the most partisan attorney general and the most partisan Department of Justice we have ever seen. If you look at the Fast and Furious scandal, it's an absolute outrage that our federal Department of Justice was knowingly, willingly, deliberately selling guns to Mexican drug cartels, and that those guns were in turn used to murder innocent civilians and at least one federal law enforcement officer. Is shocking. Listen, if I would have suggested to you a couple of years ago that the Department of Justice would be the biggest drug runner in the country, and a gun runner rather,
right.
that would have been viewed as unimaginable, and that they did it as part of a deliberate scheme to undermine our Second Amendment rights, is even all the more troubling. This attorney general has said he wants to, quote, brainwash Americans to hate guns. That's a quote from him on the record. And I have been calling out on Fast and Furious for accountability from the beginning. At the outset, I called for an independent prosecutor to get to the bottom of the facts. Then, as the facts became more and more clear, I publicly called for President Obama to fire Eric Holder because the Attorney General has been stonewalling and deceiving Congress. And for months, I have been calling on Congress, if Barack Obama won't fire Holder, to impeach him and remove him from office. We need to have accountability. We need to defend the rule of law. I'll tell you, on our website, tedcruz.org, we have a video on Fast and Furious that just lays out the facts of it. And it has gone viral online because people are, for good reason, worked up at why the Department of Justice is undermining the Constitution and undermining our rights.
Ted Cruz is a candidate for the Republican nomination for Texas United States Senate. The early voting has already started, and the election's May 29th. Thanks for the time.
It's great to be with you. Thank you so much.